This is a Pasco Media production. Please visit pascomedia.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Abiding Together podcast, where we hope to provide a place of connection, rest, and encouragement for you who are on the journey of living out your passion and purpose in Christ, just like us. So we hope you settle in today. We've got an awesome show for you about Easter and the resurrection people. My name is Sister Miriam James, and I am joined by my dear friends, Heather Kim and Michelle Bensinger. Michelle, how are you today in the Easter season? How's it going, girl?
Oh, I am doing just dandy, sister. I am awake and I've had coffee, unlike a certain Canadian that we're on the show with, and raring to go. How are you, Miss Heather?
Hey, you know, I can't be faulted that I live on the West Coast, and it is really quite early. I think it's actually still kind of dark outside right now, as you guys are like up and at 'em, and your hair is relatively looking good, and sister's looking all fresh and nice, and I feel like I've been hit by a truck this morning, to be honest with you. But I know I stand in solidarity with a lot of my sisters who are listening, as I've just had 4 hours of sleep and was rushing to get school lunches packed before I ran down here to hop into this. So I'm just now starting my coffee, so hopefully I'll be speaking coherent sentences soon.
Thanks for taking one for the team, Heather. We appreciate that.
Oh, you know what? At the same time, it's like, this is so good to be with you. So it's a nice way to start the day.
It is. It is life-giving. And I think we're going to really dive into this great topic today. We're going to talk about the Easter people. And our quote for the day is actually from John Paul II, who kind of appropriated from St. Augustine. And John Paul II said, "Do not abandon yourselves to despair. We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song." And I noticed when I was looking at that quote, St. Augustine said, "We are an Easter people," and that John Paul II said, "We are the Easter people." And I love that kind of specification of we're the people. Like, this is our hallelujah, which is a shout of joy, a praise, of gratitude. That is our song. And I don't know about you ladies, but I think sometimes as Catholics, we don't do a great job of living in the resurrection. We've got the crucifixion and Calvary down pretty well. But one of my favorite stories is when I used to live in Italy. On Easter Sunday, the priest that was there, he spent so much time making this little rock, like the rock where Jesus rose from, and he had steam coming out of the rock. I mean, it was just so creative of the resurrection and the white garment. And this woman after Mass came up to him and was so angry. And it was Easter Sunday. And she said, "You know, we can't forget that Jesus died on the cross." And he said, yeah, he did, but he did that so he could rise from the dead and free us from our sin. But she's like, "But don't forget his suffering and death." And she stormed off on Easter Sunday. And I was like, wow, lady, live a little. Okay, just live a little in the resurrection. So when you think of this reality of Easter people, which is not always easy to exercise that muscle of praise and gratitude, what comes to your mind, Heather, when you think of that? This really beautiful quote, actually, that you submitted from John Paul II. What was in your heart when you did that?
Yeah, you know, I love John Paul II. He is one of my favorites for sure. And I have a lot of personal kind of love for him because of World Youth Day. I went to Denver to World Youth Day, and just his message always was like this really hopeful message, you know? And so when I hear even the beginning part, like, don't abandon yourselves to despair. And what he's saying is that this is the reason for our hope. Is that Jesus did rise. This is the reason for our hope. If we forget this, if we forget that that heaven is our home, and that Jesus has won the battle for us, and that he has made a way for us to heaven, that he did die and rise again, then if we don't have this as our hope, we have nothing really. So I love this quote, and it's something that I've really tried to live into in various ways in my life. How about you, Michelle? What does this quote mean for you?
I love this quote. I mean, when you think of Easter, you know, this is one of the quotes that I adore. And same with John Paul II. I think those of us that are in our season of life, like, he was a father to us, like a spiritual father to us. You know, he formed us. Like, his majority of his teachings were pivotal and still are pivotal in my life and formation. But I think it's funny because I don't think we live this motto out very well as Catholics. And I was reading it yesterday. We were talking about preparing for the podcast, and all I think of is Medea and Hallelujah. And so I'm like,
you know, your crazy influence on me. I thought of that too. Yes. And I would have never thought of that before, but since you've introduced me to Madea. I now think hallelujah.
Yeah. I have this really strange obsession with Tyler Perry's Madea character. I think she's probably one of the funniest things ever. And maybe because my kids think she's so funny too. But every time she says hallelujah, she says hallelujah, you know, and this really funny Southern sassy voice. And so, but like, I think for Hallelujah Is Our Song, like just making that like an anthem, you know, like, okay, here's the resurrection. You know, let's get excited about this. Like, this is a powerful thing. And I think what Sister said is we really do focus on the crucifixion so much and the despair, and that we forget that there's an Easter Sunday, you know, coming in our lives. And it is a reality in our everyday lives, that Easter Sunday, that resurrection power. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just a lot to think about, you know, just living in that resurrection power.
Yeah, yeah. It's very true. Like I often, when I'm talking about carrying our cross, it seems like many of us carry our cross in circles, you know, that we're just going around in circles for years, just going, it's really heavy, isn't it? Yeah, it's heavy. You know, we just are walking around in the same circle. We're not walking towards the hill to die on the cross to experience the resurrection. And I think that's where we often fall short in the personal living of this. You know, if we think about, like, this is supposed to be our song, hallelujah is supposed to be our song, like the song that is welling up in us and that is woven throughout our life. But often we're just walking around in circles with a cross, and we're not experiencing the hallelujah. We're not experiencing the resurrection and being an Easter people. And I think that that is absolutely essential and something that I am excited we're going to dive into today.
Definitely. And I love the quote from 1 Corinthians where St. Paul writes, he says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And it's like, give you a St. Paul smackdown right there. And that's true. That's, you know, we know Jesus is God because he rose from the dead, which had never happened before. And he's not just a good man or a wise guru or a philanthropic or person or, you know, all the things that we want to make him to be because it seems safer. Mm-hmm. He is wild and powerful, and he's rising from the dead, and he's bringing us out of our tombs in ways that we don't even expect. And I don't know, I've noticed lately in my own areas, like this areas of self-protection where the joy seems to be too dangerous, or praise seems to be too dangerous, or hope that things could change. It just seems easier to live in despair. I know that sounds so weird, but it just, and sometimes it does, because our hearts are broken. And I love this quote from St. Paul, because he's saying, you know, this is not who I am, and this is not the end of the story. Suffering and sorrow is not the fullest measure of our story, because that's not where we're going to end up. We're going to end up in eternal consuming goodness, truth, and beauty with God forever. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about just, you know, the power of the resurrection, do you, both of you, maybe Michelle, you can start. Do you have any areas in your life where you've really experienced the power of the resurrection, maybe a glorious mystery that you often go back to in times of those times of crucifixions, that Paschal mystery that we all live out every day?
I don't know if I go back to like a glorious mystery or if I go back to, I mean, for me, when I think about the resurrection, I love the readings that the church provides in this season after Easter. And my favorite one is the one on Easter Sunday when Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb and she sees him as a gardener. And, you know, for me, I'm such a gardener person, flower person, whatever. And so like that part is really symbolic to me, that he is a gardener, and her desperation to find him, you know, like, where have you taken my Lord? You know, where are you? And I think for me, and oftentimes where I see areas of my life, or even especially my children's life, that I feel like needs to be restored, I'm like, where are you, Lord? Where have you taken? What is the situation? And I love in that passage when Jesus says her name, he says, Mary. You know, it's so personal, you know. And as soon as he says Mary, she says Rabboni, which means teacher. And for me, you know, one of my prayers has been like, okay, Lord, teach me how to live in your resurrection power. Teach me how to trust you in areas that need to be restored and redeemed. Teach me to have faith. Because I still feel like I have to figure it out. Like, I need to know all the answers instead of allowing myself to surrender and just be open to his teaching and his leading, you know, and watch him restore bit by bit. And the more I'm realizing, like, sometimes, like, Jesus was raised for the dead in 3 days.
a lot of times I think the resurrections that I've seen in my life take a lot longer than 3 days. And so I'm in a tomb a lot longer, you know, like areas that I've needed to learn how to trust, areas, you know, that need to be broken and restored in me. I've taken a lot longer than 3 days, but allow him to teach me how he is going to do that. And so, and just be, docile to that. You know, what about you, Heather?
Yeah. You know, something I've always noticed about our Protestant brothers and sisters is that whenever there's a song that talks about Jesus rising from the dead, they all begin to cheer, you know?
Oh,
and it's something
that.
That has always struck me. I'm like, this is really real to them. Like, you know, why in our Catholic churches or in conversations with one another as Catholics, or do we not have that cheer, that hallelujah, that praise of God rise up when we hear about the resurrection? And I don't know, maybe it's because a lot of people were like me for a long time. I grew up Catholic. I went to Mass, received all the sacraments, went on a traveling evangelization team after I graduated from high school, went to Franciscan University, studied theology and catechetics, went into church ministry after that. And it was that whole time I did not know really deep in my bones that God could bring restoration and healing and resurrect things in my life that had been really broken and lost. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that that was going to happen on this side of heaven. I thought that's what heaven is for. And until heaven, we just have to, you know, this is our cross to bear type of idea. Yep. And I don't say that to diminish redemptive suffering or anything like that, you know, but I think it was a misunderstanding of what that meant even. And I lived in a way of like just sort of accepting like, yep, these are the broken, you know, audio tapes that are going to run in my mind about all the lies I believe about myself, or this, you know, wounded childhood. This is just going to be here. This is just part of my story. And I settled for that. That whole time, I had never really, really encountered the resurrection in my life personally in a powerful way. So it wasn't until I was married about 2 years, and many people know this story, but my husband confessed this addiction to pornography. And it was a very, very difficult time for us, very hard. Both of us were just completely shattered with the whole thing. And as we began to work through the process, I really, at that point, was like, I don't know if we're going to get through this, because I don't know if trust can be restored in the way that it needs to have like a really healthy and fully alive marriage. And as God began to intervene and heal us and restore us, it took a long time. Like you said, Michelle, it wasn't a 3 day. Boy, I wish it was, because that was a level of pain that I hadn't experienced before. And Jake had suffered for a long time, you know, not through any fault of his own, just being exposed to things when he was young. But as we worked and as we, you know, did counseling, and Jake was fasting and all of these various things that went on, we weren't just sitting there in a tomb waiting. God began to bring us alive again. And I can say now, I mean, that Jake has never struggled with that issue again. God fully healed, miraculously restored. And our marriage now is something that I never thought would be possible. I mean, it really is amazing. This was a massive resurrection that happened in our life. And it totally changed the way that I think about our faith and our Christianity. And it is a message that I feel very compelled to share with people also, and to continue to press into my own life to all the other areas that I need to experience the resurrection. That it is possible, that the resurrection power is possible for us to access now on this side of heaven. Not that it makes all of our problems go away, because God isn't a genie in a bottle. But this is something that we need to be moving towards, carrying our cross towards the hill so that we can be on the other side.
Oh, Heather, I just want to honor what you just said. I would imagine a lot of women are going to stop the podcast right here and rewind it to what you just said. I think you were speaking to so many women and men, and whether that struggle with pornography is the spouse or it's you personally, you who are listening, that reality of resurrection and freedom and the openness, that the work that God wants to do, the healing power, because Christ is resurrected and is alive and well. Wow. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. And I think you witnessed so well to you know, the disciples who were able to witness because they've experienced the risen Lord. They've experienced the Paschal mystery. They've experienced that. And Pope Francis talks about that in his Joy of the Gospel letter, his apostolic exhortation, where he talks about we're only able to witness to Christ's love to the depth to which we encounter him.
Mm.
Yeah. Amen.
And I think one of the reasons why, you know, we talk about the new evangelization and we talk about this stuff, but I wonder if in our hearts, you know, where have we not encountered him? Because we won't talk about things we don't love. You know, what we love, we naturally talk about, whether it's, you know, Jimmy Fallon or whether it's like the Dallas Cowboys or whatever it is, our spouses or something we saw on Instagram. I mean, so whatever we fall in love with, we'll evangelize about. And I just want to say thank you for your honesty. That's so powerful. Mm-hmm. So powerful.
Yeah. You know, I never would have thought I could share that story, you know, ever, because in all reality, I thought it would still be broken and it would be just this shameful thing, you know? So it's only because we experienced the real power of the resurrection that I can share that, you know? And I think that for all of us, like, this is what is supposed to happen. Like, as the life of Christ is mirrored in our own life, and his wounds became a sign of glory. That's what's supposed to happen with us too, that our wounds would become a sign of glory and a testimony to people. And I think that's what we see in the disciples. You know, it was their personal encounter with the resurrection that changed. Like, they were afraid. They were hiding in a room. They could not deal with what had just happened when Jesus died. And it wasn't until they experienced him and Thomas touched his wounds that they were just unleashed in this boldness and signs and wonders and preaching with power and the willingness to lose everything. Like, everything changed because of that personal encounter. And so, just as you said, sister, the personal encounter with the resurrection is absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm. I know, Michelle, you're a huge Pope Francis fan. What do you think about that? How does that resound in your heart?
Oh, I think so. And, I love it about the resurrection story. Like, okay, he's God. He could do anything that he wants, and that he allows the wounds to still be there when he is resurrected. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's how they know him. Yeah.
Yeah. He could have totally covered it up. Like, he could have, you know, they could have totally been healed, you know, but God knew that he allowed those wounds to still be visible to all of us to know him. You know, and it reminds me, you know, that quote from St. Augustine, in my deepest wounds, I saw your glory and it dazzled me. That is it. And it's like such a beautiful weave and tapestry. The things that have brought us death in our life are the things that have brought, where Satan tries to bring shame to our life, are the exact areas that the Lord wants to use to bring glory into our lives and to bring glory to others, you know, to other people. Like, I mean, if you had asked me, I was walking, knowing Heather for many years and being around when all this, the crap basically hit the fan, mm-hmm. when she and Jake were going through this, would I ever think, like, when they were going through this, like, oh my gosh, God would actually use this as a platform to display his glory for other people, mm-hmm. you know, and that's how he works. You know, he uses the things that wound us, and he doesn't cover up the wounds. He lets them be a display for his glory, you know, which just makes me in awe of him, because that's how personal he is. You know, yes. He is just so, so personal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, those are my thoughts. Heather, what are you thinking? I can see your little wheels turning.
Always turning, yes. But I was just thinking, like, it's so beautiful that God wants to take away the shame of the wounds, you know, like, even for him, like, the crucifixion was one of the most shameful, exposing ways to die. I mean, it was, he was hanging naked on a cross for everybody to see and just persecuted and ridiculed, like, all of those things. And it's like he took shame and death and everything horrible and flipped it on its head with the resurrection. And that's why he's God. You know, like you said, sister, at the beginning, if he was just a good man and a good preacher and really nice, he's a nice guy, you know, and kind of revolutionary, like, that's really neat. We've had people like that in the world before, but no one else has risen from the dead. And that is precisely what makes him God. And that's precisely why we believe in him, because we too need to be raised from the dead, and not just when we go to heaven. We need to experience mm-hmm. that right now. And God is offering that to us right now. How about you, sister? Where have you experienced this personally in your life, the resurrection power of God?
Well, I certainly have experienced it throughout my life and just in my own, you know, struggle with my own addiction to alcohol and just a lot of brokenness in my life and a lot of shame because of sexual abuse as a child and some different things in my life that I had done and what had happened to me. I really thought that the wounds were the end of the story and I would always bear that shame. And just recently, God is doing a massive new work in my life of healing and those wounds shining with glory. And, you know, it's interesting to run into, you know, we talk about triggers in our life and just these seemingly things that happen from day to day. And I know myself, you know, I think I mentioned that previously, this one that stood out to me is I had this huge reaction to something that was really minor and I knew it was linked to something far deeper. And it was an area that Christ wanted to bring me to truth in the resurrection, but I had to allow him to encounter me in the depth of that intimacy. And the encounter with God isn't just once when we receive First Communion or once when we're baptized. If we're really authentic about it, it happens every day because we live out the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ every day. And so it's that, like, you hunger for him. It's the yearning for him. It's, you know, St. Catherine of Siena, I love one of her writings. She says, you know, the Lord, the more I encounter you, the more I hunger for you. Like, mm-hmm. you just set me on fire and I want to see you as you truly are. I want to see you. I want to taste you. I want to touch you. You come to bear my life, come to resurrection in my life. And it's a process. It's not magical. And I think, I know myself a lot of times, I want a magical fix. I want to be fixed. And Jesus Christ does not want to fix me. He wants to love me. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to hide under the mask of perfectionism. And if I'm just perfect, God will love me and other people will like me. And that is not the life of a Christian disciple. It's messy and it's beautiful. And it's one of being a beloved child of God. And when I know I'm a daughter of God who's loved, then I can do anything. Mm-hmm. But as long as, you know, I'm offering, operating from a different perspective of having to earn love or having to hide my wounds, and then I'm going to be operating out of striving. I think we did an episode on that. And so, yes, I think recently, especially in this Easter season, God is rocking my world and amen, because I want to be free. You know, I want to sing. I want my life to sing. I want my life to be a song of hallelujah. And that's a weak muscle in my life. I fully admit I need to go into the weight room of gratitude and joy and start lifting some weights. Right. And that, and then it becomes a practice after that. You know, it's not a once for all, it becomes a daily practice. So that's what I think about. And I was noticing this quote also that Heather, she's just rocking it, man, with the quotes today. But I love this quote from John Paul II. And if I could just proclaim this to everybody listening, this is John Paul. This is our Papa, St. John Paul II, his words to you. He says, "There is no evil to be faced that Christ does not face with us. There is no enemy that Christ has not already conquered. There is no cross to bear that Christ has not already borne for us and does not now bear with us. On the far side of every cross, we find the newness of life in the Holy Spirit, that new life which will reach its fulfillment in the resurrection. This is our faith, and this is our witness before the world." Mm-hmm. Michelle, awesome. What do you think about that?
Well, what stands out to me is the newness of life in the Holy Spirit, you know, that resurrection power, you know, like, I think the Greek word is for, is the Greek or the Hebrew for the resurrection power. What is it? Is dunamis? I'm not saying it right. Dynamis. Anyway, it's where we get the word dynamite from, you know, it's an explosion, you know, and that's what the resurrection power they are talking about. And so the newness of the life in the Holy Spirit. And after the resurrection happens, this is the Acts of the Apostles. This is the church on fire. This is the church being bold. This is the church with the signs and the wonders. Mm-hmm. This is the church that I love, you know, because it is messy and organic, but it is full of power, mm-hmm. you know, and that is what, you know, I really am just more and more convicted, and especially like in the last couple of weeks, of where am I allowing the Holy Spirit to really take control of my life and move in me and through me and with me, in boldness, you know, and, the Holy Spirit will make you uncomfortable, you know, and I'm fine being bold as long as I can control it. And that's just not how it works for the Holy Spirit. You know, he just wants to have full access, you know, and you look at the Acts of the Apostles and we think that it happened like 2000 years ago, isn't, and we read these readings, but in mass, but I'm like, okay, are we really reading these readings? Like, I mean, come on, Like, a man was healed by Peter's shadow. That's huge. And we read them, but we don't really take them in account. Like, this is huge. And this power of the Holy Spirit is not something that just happened 2,000 years ago. It is something that is given to us now and accessible to us now and to move in this power now. Mm-hmm. I remember being in school for theology and one of our professors saying us, the time between Easter and Pentecost is probably one of the most powerful times in the church, you know? Jump into the river, he always used to say, and swim with glory. Amen. You know, and so I think that is what he is calling us now. Like, to, you know, Pope John Paul always said, be not afraid. Don't be afraid and jump into the newness of life and the newness of the Holy Spirit has to offer, you know. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's much easier in some ways to just keep it in a little box, like in the Bible. You know, it's like, well, that happened 2,000 years ago, and we just look back and remember. You know, but that's not the message that Jesus shared with us. He came to show us how to live. He came to show us how to love and to experience new life. And so this really is the roadmap for us as we read through the scriptures. And I think where we need to go is to start asking ourselves, am I experiencing the resurrection in my life, or am I just experiencing carrying a cross or suffering? Because God has more for you. That is not what the story on earth is supposed to look like. Yes, we will have troubles, you know, and God says that you will have troubles, but I've overcome the world, you know. So we need to begin to live into the resurrection power of God. And then, like you said, Michelle, after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes with power, and all of the apostles begin acting in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is often where we stop. You know, we fall short. But we have a long history in our church of healing and miracles. And this is happening all over the world still today. And we know people who've experienced miracles. There's been miracles in my own family. And we just, a couple podcasts ago, talked about little baby Joy, who was 1.5 and drowned, and God rose her from the dead. That was in December that happened. And this is supposed to happen in our own hearts as well. And that's where we become the witness. This is where the hallelujah and being an Easter people becomes the song of our life. And that's how we share and witness to one another. We don't want to witness about a dreary life of rules. That is not what our faith is about. It is not about telling people what they're doing right or what they're doing wrong, you know, about getting it right and doing the form right. It's about this deep encounter with God, who wants to breathe life into us so that we can be witnesses and set the world on fire. And that is where it becomes very exciting, and this adventure with God as we journey with him.
Amen. And it indeed is an adventure. It is an adventure with all kinds of things that happen and along the way, like in Narnia and like Lord of the Rings. It really is an epic adventure like that of surprises and sorrows and beauties and glories and joy. And the road leads to God himself. Mm-hmm. The road leads to God himself. So maybe our listeners this week, you might want to just challenge yourself to look in your heart and see, am I, you know, carrying a cross in circles, or where is God bringing me to resurrection? But also maybe an exercise of gratitude. I know one of my 12-step mentors would often tell me when I got to be a bit too complainy, she would say, it sounds like it's time for a gratitude list. And so she would challenge me to, every night before I went to bed, write down 5 things that I was grateful for. She had me do it for a month, but even for the next week. And you can't repeat a single one. And what it does is it forces your things to be grateful for, because there is so much. God is doing so much in our lives that we often, just like the road to the disciples and the road to Emmaus, we just don't see it. And he comes to encounter us because he loves us, because that's what he does. So we have reached the time in our episode, my dear sisters, where we do a one thing, the one thing that is rocking your face off, aside from the resurrection, of course. So Heather, do you have a one thing? I think it might be Peeps. Last night you texted me a picture of Peeps. So it could be Peeps, but I don't want to spoil it for our listeners. So what is your one thing, girl?
Yeah, I said, are we talking tomorrow's podcast about Easter people? And then sister said, yeah, Easter Peeps. And so we had Peeps, Peeps on the brain. Okay, my one thing, Michelle, I know you're going to be with me and sort of hate me at the same time. The Abbotsford Tulip Festival is happening right now, just down the road from me. Michelle was dying to go to this last year when she came up. It was actually happening on our retreat weekend, but I was so tired I couldn't go. So anyway, the Abbotsford Tulip Festival, it's called Bloom, the Abbotsford Tulip Festival, happening right now down the street. And it is so beautiful. It is just rows and rows and rows of colored tulips of every color you could think of. And they go on for miles. And it's absolutely stunning. So for the next week, I think they still have tickets available. So I'm going to head down there once it stops raining and enjoy that. That's going to be one of my little field trips that I take down the road. So I'm really excited about that. And I just love community things. I love supporting community things. And I think it's a wonderful way to come together with people and get outside and invite a friend. So I'm looking forward to that. Lexi at the Tulip Festival was the one who donated all of those beautiful tulips for our women's retreat this year. And she just gave us like hundreds of tulips, and they were so beautiful and made such an impact on all the women who came and on our environment. So big shout out to Lexi at the Abbotsford Tulip Festival for that. Sister Miriam, what is your one thing?
My one thing occurred to me yesterday, and this might sound very simple, and that's okay, is I love a good home-cooked meal. I enjoy cooking for the sisters, and I just had some extra time yesterday so I could start a bit early. And there's just something about, I don't know, I just, my heart, as I was cutting the vegetables and just kind of grilling up the chicken, just thinking of the sisters that I was cooking for and just interceding for them. And I know life is not always like that, but I think there's special moments where I'm just grateful to be able to provide something small for them, for their joy and their sustenance, and just that we gather around the table and hang out. So this week is just for me a good home-cooked meal, I do have to say.
Mm. Yeah. Good one.
Michelle, what about you, girl?
So my one thing is I actually got one of an early Mother's Day present. Early is, I don't know if you've seen them on social media or not, but the letter boards by Letter Folk Company. I'm obsessed with them. You know, they're the funky little boards and that you can put quotes on and letters on. And so my peeps got me one because they're having a Mother's Day sale. They got me one early and I already have it. And of course, I've already put quotes on it. And because, you know, I'm like a quote junkie.
It's not even Mother's Day and you're just like diving right into your gift. I love it.
Yeah, you know, rules don't apply. Anyway, so that is my one thing from Letter Folk Company, my letter board. It's beautiful. You can see I already posted something funny on it, Instagram with it the other day. It's just awesome.
Thank you for joining us, dear listeners. And remember, do not abandon yourselves to despair. We are the Easter people and hallelujah is our song. We want to say thank you to everybody who's left us a review and a rating. We're so grateful. We're so glad that the podcast is touching you and blessing you, and God is blessing you and just listening and journeying with us. We pray for you daily, and we're grateful that you're on the journey with us. If you could please stop by iTunes and subscribe to us, or abidingtogetherpodcast.com and subscribe to us. Leave us a rating and a review. Pass an episode along to a friend whom you think might benefit. We'd really appreciate it. So until next time, we will be abiding together. God bless you. Have a great day.